Today is March 13th. It is the 13th, yes. And I am with Carlos, is it Moraes?
Moraes.
At his office at University of Miami. And this is the first day of the Pew interview. So let's start with something easy, like when and where were you born?
I was born in São Paulo, Brazil, 1962. I don't remember much about it, but I think it went okay.
It went okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, your mother probably remembers it.
Yeah. I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Okay. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your family history, your parents, maybe your grandparents?
See how far I can remember. My family is about 75% descendant of Italians. So my father, my father's mother is Italian, and my father's father is actually a mixture of some Brazilian, Indian, and Portuguese, and God knows what else. Now my mother's side is all Italian, but my mother was already, I think, second or third generation Brazilian.
Okay. So what took them to Brazil from Italy?
Good question. I mean, there were thousands of people that went. I'm not even sure. I think that was before the Second World War, so I'm really not sure. Mm-hmm. It's a good question. I should ask.
Well, that's one of the side benefits of doing these things. Right. It makes you ask questions. Okay, so let's start with your grandparents then. What did they do?
Right, my mother's side was relatively poor. My grandfather, painting walls, houses, and things like that. And my grandmother would just be a housewife, and she would, make clothing stuff at home to sell. But they were quite remarkable, at least my grandmother, because, you know, she had to work a lot, but she was very adamant about getting my mother into school. That, I guess, early on, my grandfather thought was not such a great idea. Uh-huh. They were not living in a big city. They were in a small rural town. But she went on to high school and then to the university in a big city, that's São Paulo. So she actually had to leave her home. Uh-huh. And my grandmother was very supportive of her. And that was quite unusual, I think. So she finished her degree in physical education. She became a teacher, phys ed teacher. Now, my father's side.
So she was pretty athletic, it sounds like, which was also not so usual then for women to do.
Yes, yeah.
Or at least it wasn't in this country.
Yeah. I mean, they would also do a lot of events and like dances or organize, I don't know, big parades and things like that. This was all part of phys ed at the secondary school level. That's what she taught. But the unusual thing is that she had to leave my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And she went to live with some relatives, I guess, a cousin in São Paulo. And that's where she met my father later. So my father's side is a little different. They were a little bit more educated. My grandfather was a colonel in the army, not the national army, that was like the state army. I don't know what the comparable
National Guard, like the National Guard.
Kind here. Of. Actually, it was more like a military police. But those times, there were quite a few revolutions where the state would go against the union. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather participated in several of those. He got shot and all that. He was very active. My grandmother, the mother of my father, she was a housewife, and she raised two kids, my father and his brother. They had some money, and I guess they always got good education. They were living in a rural area, but not a very small city to start with. But eventually they moved to São Paulo, that's a big city. Mm-hmm. And my father went on to the university and he finished a degree in engineering, and he became a mechanical engineer, and he worked for the government making dams and things like that. Mm-hmm. He also became a professor in the university in São Paulo.
So did he go on for a PhD
somewhere? No, never did.
So you don't need to do that there for the university?
Now you do. Mm-hmm. When he did, he didn't have to. Mm-hmm. But he had problems later on. So when he was about 50 or 60, he had to go and get a master's at least.
Oh.
in education, actually. He had to have some kind of degree.
Mm-hmm.
So my father was very much into education all his life.
Mm-hmm. So he was one of two children, and how many in your mother's family?
My mother had only one brother, he didn't get much in terms of education, mm-hmm. even though later on my father tried to motivate him and push him, but he never finish a mm-hmm. degree or anything like that. So mm-hmm. he was always selling things here, selling things there. And mm-hmm. he's still doing that.
Mm-hmm. These were relatively small families for the time, weren't they?
Yeah, but like my mother's family was relatively small for her family because mm-hmm. she had, I think, I don't know, 15 cousins. Mm-hmm. I don't know, mm-hmm. even more. Mm-hmm. My mother's mother had, I think there were 20 brothers and sisters. So it was a huge family.
20.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a clan. That's a whole clan.
Yeah, was a clan. It still is. They still meet and make like huge parties. But my father's side was smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, now what about your siblings?
Siblings?
Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
My brother, that's 2.5 years older, he started the university for engineering degree, but after 1 or 2 years, he didn't like it. It was too technical for him. He dropped out and went for architecture. Mm-hmm. That was more on his lines. So he finished that. Then he went to Italy, spent, I think, 5 years doing a master's in restoration, architecture restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he went back to Brazil, and he tried a few things. Now he teaches in different universities, or maybe they're not full universities, a couple are, but also some schools, I don't know, like colleges, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Art schools?
Right, or mm-hmm. no, they're colleges. They're not full-fledged universities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they have degrees in architecture or arts
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, she's 1.5 year younger than me, and she went to the university for an arts visual communications degree. And she finished that, and then we had a bit of a traumatic experience that we went to the beach. Myself, she, and her boyfriend, and they went into the water. And to make a long story short, the boyfriend drowned.
Oh
so
my.
It was terrible for her.
Oh my.
So she went to Italy because my brother was there. And she stayed there a while, but started getting jobs, and now she's still there, I think, after 12, 15 years.
Oh.
So she stayed there. She got married with an Italian guy. They have a girl. She's 10 now. And she works editing movies.
Oh. Okay. All right. So you guys are spread all over the place.
All over, yeah. My brother went back to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God. So we feel better that someone is there
mm-hmm.
with my parents.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you said that education was important to your parents. Did you have any sense when you were growing up what, if any, expectations they had for you kids?
Not in the sense that I felt any pressure to be something or to do something. I guess when I was a little older, I I felt the expectation of getting a higher degree or something mm-hmm. like that. But I was really older when I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did a good job in providing us with lots of stimuli and things like that. But and of course, like anywhere, maybe in Brazil, there's an underlying pressure, I guess, that you should become either a physician or a lawyer or something like that. But they were never very strong on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they always respect us, in our choices.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say they were happy when my brother dropped the engineering school
mm-hmm.
To do architecture, or they were not thrilled when my sister chose to do visual communications. But they accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was life like growing up, a little kid in São Paulo?
Yeah, it's remarkably similar to mm-hmm. to American cities, because São Paulo is relatively rich for Brazil. And let's see, what would be the differences? Maybe we had a lot of freedom, I guess. At that time, maybe São Paulo was not as dangerous as it's now. So we really would ram around and we'd go to school, I wouldn't say very early, but to a certain age that maybe parents here would not let kids go alone
mm-hmm.
to school. And, you know, lots of public transportation that would take. And well, the bottom line is that that freedom allowed us to explore a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know. Very early on, we had friends here and groups, and would do things that were, I don't think were things that parents would like, or. But we had that space and freedom that maybe was a little dangerous, but it provided us with a lot of experience, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also for the South America, men have much more freedom than women when they are
mm-hmm.
young. So my parents were much more relaxed with myself and my brother
mm-hmm.
than they were with my sister,
mm-hmm.
Even though eventually she broke out. But, the fact that I had an older brother also helped, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of freedom for explorations in general,
mm-hmm.
outside home.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about maybe 15, my brother was a little older, we started traveling together, we started to surf, so the weekends and vacations, holidays, we'd always travel by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Or with friends, and that was great in terms of experiences also,
mm-hmm.
away from home.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it's quite similar to an American city. Family life is similar. My parents, when we were there, he wanted us to be at dinner at the
mm-hmm.
right time. He was quite strict with that.
Mm-hmm.
Another difference is that in Brazil, it's much easier to have maids. So we
mm-hmm.
always, since I was born, I always had someone else besides my mother taking care of me.
Uh-huh.
And,
nanny.
Yeah. And some of them stay quite a long time, so they become almost like a second mother to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit of a difference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Here is less common. There
mm-hmm.
is very common.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things did you, I know when you got older you were surfing and that sort of thing, but when you were a little kid, like elementary school age, what kinds of things did you play?
Well, I have to remember. Which age is that, elementary school?
Oh, 5 to 12 about.
5 to 12. Lots of social interactions. We used to live in a condo, so there was a little space inside the condo, the condo where people could get together and
mm-hmm.
play soccer.
Kind of like a playground.
Right.
Okay.
And there was also a little soccer field,
mm-hmm.
and there was a place where the cars would park also, would use
mm-hmm.
to play with a skateboard and things like that. And all kinds of kids play. Everything that you do here, we play
mm-hmm.
do hide and seek and all
mm-hmm.
that. And, the social thing was very important. And there were big groups there.
Mm-hmm.
When we had vacations, At that age, I think my parents would go with us to these camps. Not really camps, because they were there also. I don't know what's the name, would be the name here, but kind of hotels that have all-inclusive, and they're actually part of their where my father worked. So,
okay.
I don't know exactly how you call it.
I'm not sure.
It's like a vacation colony, something like
that.
So those were great social interactions because there were lots of kids there. You know, you felt really bad if you didn't belong to a group. You felt great if you finally interact with certain people. And then you start, you know, meet girls. And those settings are very romantic for a 12-year-old. I mean, everything is very exciting. Again, I think similar to what an American kid would do at that age.
Well, what kinds of things were you... I mean, you know, life is very different if you grow up in a condo in a big city than if you grow up on a farm somewhere. So what... You know, the type of play that kids do, some kids are interested in sports, some are collecting bugs, some are building things. What kinds of things...
All of the above. Yeah, we do a lot of sports, lots of collections. I don't think I was really targeting something or I was concentrated on one thing. I think I was jumping all over the place and trying as many things as as would be, you know, presented to me. We did a lot of collecting... would be like cards, I guess, that they sell here. You would buy in the newsstand. You get three of those, and you put together an album. And if you fill a page, you get a prize.
Now it's Pokemon cards.
Right, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, lots of games with balls. I can't remember of one thing I was focusing on.
Okay.
I think it was really the whole gamish.
You were a Renaissance boy, right?
Maybe.
Liked everything. Okay. Well, let's talk about school a little bit. Because your experiences were probably a little different from the scholars who grew up in the United States or some of the other countries. What are your first of all, when do you start school in Brazil? At what age?
I think it's around five also.
Okay.
I was trying to remember that. And I think it's around five.
Okay. What do you remember about... What are your earliest memories?
Yeah, my earliest memories are, I think, from 69-70. That I was probably like 7-8 years old. Was this school... that I guess elementary school you'd call here. I just remember the social interactions and, you know, playing the swimming pool. Actually, it was a whole day school, so we had to get food there, and I was a very bad eater, and I remember people trying to force food on me, and I would be devastated. But mostly I remember the social interactions, you know, some weird characters that would start to make an impact for, you know, like one scene here, one scene there just flashed in my mind.
For example?
I don't know, like in the swimming pool, there was maybe a professor, a teacher that... swam underwater like don't know how many times in the water. I was extremely impressed. Then there were, you know, kids that would, you know, be playing naked in the what do you call it? Not the bathroom, the, where you dress up. For the swimming pool.
The dressing room.
The changing room. You know, things that I was not exposed to before. Those things, you know, I can remember still.
They stick.
It's like, you know, something new.
Sure. Did you like school?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I always did.
Mm-hmm. What was it that you liked about it?
Yeah, I think my, you know, my interest for academic stuff actually started really at home, not so much in school.
Mm-hmm.
But my father always bought for us these magazines that are not really magazines, they're like journals that you collect and then you make a whole volume,
mm-hmm.
either with, you know, related to animals or some life science, something like that. I'm not sure exactly why he was doing that, because he's more of an engineer kind of person. But I guess I show interest for animals and things like that. And mm-hmm. he just, you know, keep feeding me with those things,
mm-hmm.
in addition to regular Mickey Mouse and mm-hmm. other.
Mm-hmm.
So he would buy a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And
was he feeding all the kids or just you?
All the kids.
Okay.
Yeah. But he'll notice that if, you know, like for example, I had a huge predilection for this animal stuff,
mm-hmm.
so he would buy it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now others would look at it, but I was the one that was really into
mm-hmm.
it. So he was very attentive to you know, how we were developing. He tried to feed us a mm-hmm. lot of material. I think that was good. Now, early school, I really cannot remember much about academics.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that I did okay. I was a decent student, maybe a good student, not an exceptional student. Then secondary school, maybe I got some good science teachers
mm-hmm.
that you know, piqued my interest a little bit more
mm-hmm.
on maybe on the science, the life science side.
Mm-hmm.
But early schooling, I really don't remember much about it.
Okay. Now, in Brazil, when you say, you know, here there's elementary school, then junior high or middle school, depends where you are, what they call it, and then there's high school. How does it work in Brazil?
Right. I was trying to get this down. So, I guess, let's see, in 73, I started what we call their secondary school.
So
I don't know if it matches the secondary school here.
So how old were you in 73?
1973. Let's say I'm from 62, so
I was
11.
So that would be like middle school here.
Middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and then we have high school. So before that, I guess we just call elementary or
mm-hmm.
you know, different grades of elementary. Or if they call something else, I don't know.
Okay. So during those middle school years, now see here, you go in elementary, you're with one teacher all day. And then
right.
in middle school, you start having
right.
different
exactly.
classes.
Yeah.
Is it
that's
the same there?
Right.
Okay.
And that's when I start getting some good science teachers.
Okay.
Particularly one that I remember. And maybe, yeah, maybe during middle school,
mm-hmm.
I had only one science, like life science teacher. There was a woman that was very... She was very good at, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stimulated my interest for that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for that area. So after that, high school. So this was middle school. I went to a state school. That in those years, 73, 76, they were still pretty decent.
Well, now, let's back up for a second.
Okay.
Was the elementary school public or private?
Those were private that I went to.
Okay. So, before we go on, why did your parents send you to private school as opposed to public school?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
It might have been... I think it's both... well, first, I don't think we have many good public elementary schools.
Okay.
But I may be wrong. God knows what was happening those days.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been convenience to be
mm-hmm.
relatively close to home. Even though one of them was not that close.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that what you call middle school
mm-hmm.
Was a state school, but was considered good.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's what they were that's why they put us there.
Mm-hmm.
And also my mother was teaching there in this school. That was one block from our place.
Uh-huh.
So it might have been a combination. Mm-hmm.
Now that can be, you know, middle school, those are the years that kids are the most awkward.
Yeah.
And so it could have been uncomfortable, maybe also having your mother at school. Right. How was that?
Yeah. To me, was not much of a problem because she was teaching girls on.
Oh, girls' gym. Yeah.
But yeah, eventually there would be some awkward situation.
Yeah.
I didn't have much of a problem.
It was okay.
I think she was not disliked, so nobody ever said anything bad to me. So,
yeah.
And I never saw her, really.
Uh-huh.
It was a relatively large school.
Okay. How were those years for you?
They were, let's see, I can't say uneventful because I don't really remember. I remember, you know, I had some colleagues. I had a girl that was madly in love that never gave me the you know, the time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very good friend of mine, but so there was all this awakening for, you know, sexual feelings and all that. Also, I start changing social groups, I guess, but I can't remember exactly who I was friends with mainly there. I remember that I changed and maybe I was interacting more with people that was running, riding skateboards or things like that. So that was the link.
Mm-hmm.
So not people that were in school with me or, you know, in my building or something like that. So
mm-hmm.
I was going a little bit more out of my way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe being a little bit more daring, kinds of activities I'll do, like skateboarding could be a very dangerous thing. For example, would go to a faraway neighborhood that had very huge slopes, and then we'll come back, you know, holding two cars to get a ride.
The kinds of things, if you heard your daughter was doing them, you'd have a heart attack.
Yeah, I would appreciate it, right?
Yeah.
But I can't remember, you know, any really remarkable thing that happened during those years.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in this country, people get put in groups. You know, they're the brainy kids, and then they're the nerdy
right.
kids, and then they're the popular kids and whatnot. Did that sort of stuff go on there?
Yeah, it went on like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I never, you know, fit completely in one group or another.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I was a good student, but I don't think I could be considered the brainy group. Also because my activities were like sporty and
mm-hmm.
quote-unquote cool.
Cool.
And I think that continued through high school,
mm-hmm.
that pattern. So, yeah, I was probably more interested in being in the cool group than in the brainy group.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference also between Brazil and here, is that there you can make up for a bad track record eventually. And here it's harder to do that. If your GPA is not good here, it's hard to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
There, when you finish high school, you have to, you know, to get into the university, you have to go through an examination. And the best grades will get in.
Regardless
of your previous history.
Oh.
So maybe the pressure of always having to perform at your maximum was not there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But still, I was, you know, I enjoyed school, but I was definitely not the nerdy type.
Mm-hmm.
I would, I would skip school once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do some bad things.
Mm-hmm. So, now what about high school? Was that public or private?
Right.
Or?
So when I finished middle school, I went to this very good private high school. Very good and very difficult, really. But, you know, traditionally, people that graduate from there would get into the best universities because mm-hmm. they were really tough. So I did, there were 3 years, I did okay for 1 year and a half, but then I just got tired of working so hard for my grades. And I did one thing that a lot of people do there. and the parents don't like very much, that's to change to school that's not as hard after some time.
I think
my brother did it 3 years there. I did 1 year and a half, and my sister did 1 year there.
Mm-hmm. You got braver as the generations came through.
And of course, I had to use very good arguments with my father to mm-hmm. why that was not such a bad idea. I don't think I was at risk of losing a year yet, but I think I used the argument that, you know, maybe I could lose a year, and that would be bad for me.
Lose a year?
Well, I had to repeat a year.
Oh, okay.
Because maybe my grades were not up to par. Mm. So I moved to this school that also traditionally takes people from hard schools. It's not a bad school because they have decent teachers, but they really do not they not demand too much mm-hmm. in the sense that if you want to learn, you learn. If you don't want to learn, you don't have to. You still get grades somehow.
Uh-huh.
But they also offered one thing, that they have these courses that are preparatory courses for this university examination, the entry examination. So this high school also offers these courses, and they will offer it for free if you're a student there. So I took advantage of that. So I finished half a year, and then my last year of high school, at the same time, during the evenings, I did this course. That's a preparatory course for the university. So maybe I'll have been better prepared if I stayed the tougher school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I still got a decent preparation. And then we went for this big examination that you have to pick the school you want to go in. All the good schools are state schools or federal schools. The private schools are not as good in Brazil.
The colleges, you mean?
Colleges.
Okay. Or university.
And of course, you don't pay in the public schools, mm-hmm. and they're better. So mm-hmm. you really want to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So some examinations are extremely competitive, like medicine, and others. They're all also competitive, but a little less, maybe. So I had some interest in medicine, but not completely. I mean, mm-hmm. I could do medicine, but I really like biology and science in general. Like one thing that I did when I was, I don't know, maybe 12 or something like that, I used to collect that information that comes inside the medicines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, with all those huge names. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of stuff. So I had an interest in this kind mm-hmm. of life sciences. So I did the examination, and I chose a course called biomedicine. That's a very small course in a federal school. It's only 20 students a year. And it's kind of biology in a medical school. And they emphasize the medical part, and they emphasize research as a goal for the students because it's such a small group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. I passed it, and I went.
Okay. Yeah. Let's back up for a minute. I have a couple questions about your high school and then about how you came to that decision. Why did your parents, you know, here, to get into one of those sort of fancy private prep schools, you almost have to start in preschool and work your way up through the system, which clearly is different there. But was it hard to get in to that high school?
The high school.
And why did your parents send you there?
Well, they sent me there because they thought it was the best.
Okay.
How hard is it to get in? I think, you know, you can't just get in. I think you have to interview, but I can't really remember
mm-hmm.
what kind of requirements they had. Yeah, that's the bottom line. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. Do you recall how expensive it was, or were you involved in that at all?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. My parents were paying for it, and
because they had three
Ribera
kids.
Was expensive, but yeah. I can't give you a number.
Yeah, okay.
Also, with the Brazilian inflation,
yeah,
would be meaningless for us.
Okay, so when you decided to do this biomedicine or to take the exam for that, at that point, what did you think you would do? I mean, did you have a picture yet of what?
Yeah, very vague. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to say that I knew exactly what I was going to do, but it was not the case.
You'd be alone if you knew.
So I knew that there was an area that I enjoyed.
Right.
I was not even sure that, would end up doing research. Because the course could also prepare you to do lab analysis, clinical analysis, and things like that.
You mean like lab technician in a hospital or something?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or you could even open your laboratory analysis business and do as contract and maybe make decent money.
Okay.
So that was, but I was not sure really. It was just, there's a problem in Brazil that it's better here, because there at 18, when you enter college, you really have to define your career path. So the college here gives you a buffer zone where you can still, change a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. So there you have to choose, mm-hmm. and you can change that. I mean, unless you drop out and start again.
Mm-hmm.
You have only one major, and that's what you go for. So wasn't clear to me what I was going to do, to tell you the truth. I just knew there was an area I liked, was a good school,
mm-hmm.
so hopefully it would prepare me for something that
mm-hmm.
I could use
mm-hmm.
and make a living.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And why did you decide to stay in São Paulo? Because Brazil's a big country. It's
a
more
big
than
country,
one
but people don't move around as much as here.
Okay.
And for studies, really wouldn't make sense for me to move out, because actually people come from outside to São Paulo because that's where the best schools are.
Okay.
So that was a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also people stay with their parents for a long time
mm-hmm.
until they get married, basically. So I guess... Yeah, until you are 20, 25, 26, you still live with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common thing. And
actually,
when you
it's
move
becoming
out,
common here now.
Right. When you move out, it's a big trauma thing. Your mother cries.
Okay. So you lived at home. Yes. Now, see, here, it's considered part of the experience of college to go live in dormitories and things.
And that's a nice thing. Yeah, I compensate for that, I guess, by traveling a lot without my parents. But, yeah, during the scholar year, I was there.
Okay. So what was the university experience like for you?
The university experience. So, as I said, the class was very small, only 20 students. So that gave it a real unique character to the experience. We were like a small group. I got a girlfriend early on in our class. I would study in groups that were basically a third of the class.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. The initial years were together with the medical students. So we had to do all those gruesome courses, anatomy, and etc. It was new and exciting, tough. But, it went okay. I was a decent student. If I was motivated, if the course was not good, I would just find a way to get grades. I remember one in particular, it was mathematics. That were supposed to have some kind of advanced mathematics calculus there. The teacher was just terrible. I couldn't understand one thing that she was talking about. So I was littering during the test, cheating and getting answers from my colleagues And I didn't care much about it. But other courses, like physiology, that were interesting to me, I did quite well by myself. Mm-hmm. But still, I was, I think, in college, I became even less in the brainy part of the class, because then I was really into surfing, I was traveling, any opportunity I had. Mm-hmm. My social interactions became much more these weekend interactions with people that would travel and I would meet at the beach. And you'll see later on that had a very strong impact in my career. But, yeah, so I would go to school with flip-flops, suntan, and I did okay. I would study hard still when I had tough exams, I'll do the work. But, yeah, I think at that time I was doing just enough to get by. Yeah.
Well, are you safe there? I mean, you know, here if you don't maintain a certain grade point, you get kicked out of school.
Yeah, I realize this now. I'm here in the Executive Promotions Committee, and I see lots of kids here that, you know, get good grades and are kicked out of school and they're pleading for their lives. I think there you could repeat a year. I definitely did not feel the pressure that I was going to be kicked out. Mm-hmm. Even though I was never in that position, my grades were always good enough mm-hmm. that I was not even close to repeating uh-huh. a year. Mm-hmm. But I did not feel the pressure. I think I could repeat one time the whole year there. Mm-hmm. There are other schools in Brazil that are even easier, that you have private schools particularly not as good. They have what's called dependency, that you can repeat only the course you fail without losing a year.
Oh,
so you go for your new academic year, you just have to repeat that one course.
Oh, okay.
In our school, it was a big thing that they didn't have that. So if you repeat it, you have to repeat the whole year.
The whole year, wow.
So that was pretty much all the pressure I felt, that, you know, mm-hmm. if I did bad, I'd lose a year.
Mm-hmm. Let me turn the tape over.